Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
That is some intense dedication to Jesus. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am John R. Bray.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And we are fresh out of the holiday weekend here in America, Memorial Day. And again, not recording at our normal time because there is no normal anymore.
There's a new normal. I've got to take Lita to the doctor. Some people have suggested thyroid problems, which I have looked into because Lita's exhausted all the time. And one of John's sister has a thyroid problem. So
a couple people, I think, suggested mono as well. Did you see those? I mean, there were lots of possible suggestions because this is how life
Lita's
is with
never,
kids.
Lita's never really actually sort of even been in the vicinity of a boy in terms of, like, physical touch. A really funny story. Not even funny. In the South, we call it the mission field, basically. Is any place outside of Utah is called the mission field.
Okay.
There's a class called seminary, and you take it at high school here in Utah. There's actually a seminary building for Mormon church classes that you take.
At all high schools, or?
I'm pretty sure it's at every high school.
Wow.
Or there's some sort of setup where you go to seminary during school hours. Where I grew up, we had to go to what's called to early morning seminary. Every morning before high school, we would go. I had to wake up at 4:45 in order to be there by 5:50 when it started. And it would go from 5:50 to like 6:45 in order to make it to high school by 7:15.
As if waking up for 7:15 high school is not already early for high schoolers.
Right. So I had perfect attendance in seminary.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. And my sophomore year, I got really, 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 really sick. I just had some, like, stomach flu. And I was already throwing up that morning, but there was no possible way that I was going to miss seminary. So I'm throwing up all the way to seminary. I'm sitting down reading the New Testament with all 12 people who are there with us, 12 other kids, and then running to the bathroom to throw up, and then coming back and reading the New Testament, and then going back and throwing up. And it was really, really bad.
That is some intense dedication to Jesus. I am impressed.
When I say Jesus, you say Jesus. Jesus!
Jesus!
So the seminary teacher called my mother and was like, I don't think that Heather should. Heather's kind of, she's so dehydrated, she's having hallucinations. You might want to come. She can have, we're going to count her that she came today, but you might want to come get her. And they took me to an Instacare, and I was hallucinating, delirious, because I had been throwing up at that point for like 7 hours. And I'm lying there, and the doctor comes in and says, well, is she pregnant?
That's like the first thing.
That's the first, well, yeah, because, you know, I'm 15 years old, and I'm throwing up all over the place. And he's like, I don't want to give her anything if I don't know if she's pregnant or not. My mom sputtered and was just like, are you kidding me? And he's like, no, I'm not kidding you. You don't know everything about your child.
Oh, wow.
And if you've read my book, you know that my mother knew every fucking thing about me in my life because she and I were best friends. And I wondered, I had to like go take a pee test while I was throwing up in the bathroom so that they could determine that I wasn't pregnant. They came back and they're like, she's not pregnant. And I was like, I looked at my mom and I said, could I be pregnant if I've never even kissed anyone?
Oh my God.
And my mom is just stroking my hair, like assuring me that everything's going to be fine. But yeah, mono, can you get mono without kissing someone?
I feel like you can, but I don't know. I think it's more rare. I think it does require like saliva, but I think there is an airborne version. And I'm sure people are probably like listening to this and, you know, bashing their head against the wall because we're both totally wrong.
Well, because I mean, I was never, ever in a situation to get mono. I mean, I didn't kiss anybody until I was 17 and a half years old.
I appreciate the half. That's important.
Well, I'm around children who do that all the time. I'm 9 3/4 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I feel like I've heard of it being airborne, but I could be making that up.
Okay.
Someone else mentioned I don't remember. I'd have to look at Instagram. A vitamin D deficiency, some sort of vitamin.
She has that. And so we have her on a multivitamin every day.
Okay.
I have been taking her to school every morning, giving her an extra hour of sleep.
Right.
It has nothing has helped. Nothing. So we went and did a psychiatric, I don't care that people are going to get mad at me for talking about this because Lita doesn't fucking care. And the more that we fucking talk about this, like if Lita had diabetes or Lita had mono, why can we talk about that and not the fact that Lita is on an anti-anxiety medication?
Right. There's no difference at all.
It's no different.
Yep.
Like it's her brain is an organ. The heart is an organ. Like all of that is just the body working. So right. We're trying to figure out if maybe her anti-anxiety medication is causing the fatigue. So I had to go to a psychiatric evaluation a couple of weeks ago. Which cost more money than God. And they sent notes to her pediatrician. And so we're going to go to the pediatrician today and then maybe see if it's a thyroid issue or a medication issue or something. So that she feels bad about herself because she's so tired.
Like she views it as a personal failure.
She views it as a personal failure, which, you know, it's just not. And I can't convince her otherwise. Like, Lita, this is a physical issue. This is something's going on inside of your body to cause you to feel this way. So we're going to go figure it out.
Well, but she shoulders things. I feel like that's very on brand for her. Like to blame herself. This must be me. I have screwed up.
It's very on brand for Lita. Yes.
Well, hopefully it's fairly straightforward and they're like, oh yeah, it's clearly this and we're going to do this and it's fine.
Yeah. She hasn't stopped growing. They have determined she's got another 1 or 2 inches there. So she's still growing. She's still, you know, hormonal. So yeah, we would normally be recording during the time that I'm taking her to her pediatrician. So yeah, that's happening today.
So now it's a little earlier than normal, which is all right.
It's fine.
We're flexible.
We're super flexible.
Yeah. And I think since we're mentioning all of these suggestions that have come in about Lita, we've also received a lot of suggestions on either specific future topics for MRS or just sort of general thoughts on social media and email, kind of across the board. If we haven't responded, we are reading them all. So thank you. And we're trying to respond. But some great stuff has come through, I think.
Yeah. And I apologize. I went to LA this weekend and held a meetup with some of my audience members. Hi, if you're listening, hello.
Was this it was a book meetup, but there were also like readers and podcast listeners and.
Yeah. And you know, I thought maybe, I mean, there was a good showing. There was probably almost 20 people there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is good because, I mean, it was downtown LA, a place I've never been, you know, in LA you have to drive and it's not a little drive as it, like same in Chicago, right? When you drive, you fucking drive. It is a thing. You have to like dedicate yourself to that drive.
Right. Well, even if it's not a far drive, it's a time consuming drive.
It's a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really appreciated everybody who came out and I read a little passage from the book. We talked about John.
About John without an H?
J-O-N.
Okay.
John without an H and his reaction to the book. And, you know, I told them, you know, John has been staying at our home while I've been gone, and he's coming back when I go to Chicago. I'll be in Chicago from the night of the 10th through the morning of the 14th. We're still figuring out those details.
Yes.
I'm going to be in San Francisco the 23rd of June on a Sunday afternoon at a place called The Assembly. I'm still figuring out those details.
And that's book related? That's why you're there?
That is a book related. Okay. Yeah. All of this is book related. So yeah, we had an amazing meetup with everybody there. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. But I was talking to you about this before, and I'm actually writing about this and publishing about this on my website today. We got to LAX on Friday and had a little altercation with a man from New York and his family as they were getting out of a Lyft driver's car. And Cowboy was putting my luggage into the car while they were taking their luggage out of the car. And I think the guy was just already heated up and already had a bad day. And he got up in Cowboy's face to the point where I really did think that I was going to see blood and teeth flying everywhere.
Which unfortunately did not, or fortunately rather, did not happen.
It did not happen. I actually pulled him aside and I talked to him and I touched his arm and I said, you know, I'm so sorry that this has happened. And I went to talk to his daughter and I talked to his wife and I told him my name and I was like, you know, I'm so sorry that you're having a bad day. And it really diffused the situation. But the best, like, I love talking to audiences about this topic. I mean, depression's never fun, but I love, like, being able to connect with people about this topic. But I also, one of my favorite things about going on a book tour and traveling and talking about all of this is getting to know, like, servers and the people at the hotel, and especially drivers of, like, Lyfts and Ubers. Sorry, I shouldn't say Uber because that's a dirty word now. It's a dirty four-letter word.
Right.
And my father taught me to do this, and it's kind of an innate thing where I really try to get to know people and their stories, because people have such interesting lives and there's so much to learn from other people who do this back-breaking work, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I think Cowboy gets a little annoyed at how talkative I am about this.
Is he not a talker, not a small talker like that?
No, okay. No. In fact, his niece watched our kids this weekend and the dog. And his niece and the niece's husband are Juilliard trained violinists. They both are.
Wow.
They both went to Juilliard, and he's so good that he actually travels with orchestras around the world and has a violin. I can't even tell you how much that violin is worth. I mean, you don't want to know.
Oh, no, I'm sure.
No. He has to have it insured.
Yeah.
Like a house.
Yeah.
And he and I, when we got home, he was talking about how when he travels, he loves to talk to people. And she was like, yeah, it annoys me so bad because she's like, us as a family, like, she and Pete and that whole part are really quiet. They're not talkers that way.
I used to be like that.
You used to be like that?
I used to be, like, I would get into a Lyft or a cab or anything and just silent, like, stare out the window. But I've had over the years enough friends who are the exact opposite that it kind of, anytime I'd be with them, it would force me into that situation of having that small talk.
Uh-huh.
And I began to realize, like you're saying, like, these stories are really interesting. And if I'm going to be in this car or in this place for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, I might as well make the best of it and connect and learn. And it's way more exciting.
I've never, whenever I talk to a Lyft driver, they always have some crazy shit to, like something about their story is just like, whoa, like, you know, you are from the Czech Republic or you're from Croatia. You escaped, like it's like craziness, right? So we have this incident and we get into the car and I make sure the cowboy is like okay because he just faced a possible head injury.
Right.
I start talking to the driver, who is this tiny, tiny black woman, and she starts talking, and come to find out, she has four boys under the age of 8. Four. Because I was talking to her about the fact that I used to live in LA, and it was really hard for me because there was so much driving in LA. And she's like, yeah, I've got four boys over at this part of town. She's getting 2 degrees.
While driving a Lyft?
2 degrees. Yes.
Holy shit.
She's getting 2 degrees, raising four boys. So her classes are completely clear across LA. She's doing Lyft to make money, and she's divorcing a man who doesn't have a job.
Would she like to be on a podcast and explain how she survives? Because that is incredible, honestly.
I was just like, I said, I bow down to you. I bow, first of all, that you have four boys under the age of 8. You're getting 2 degrees this year, and you're driving a Lyft. And LA is no fucking joke when it comes to traffic. You know, you understand this.
No, driving in LA seems like it would be the last thing someone would want to
voluntarily do.
Right.
And once I got her talking, she was just sharing all about this and about her boys and about getting, you know, her degrees. And like, and then we got onto the topic of divorce. And that's when she and I really connected. And she was just like, man, like, what is all this? And we just went on and on and on.
And Pete is silent.
Silent the whole, like, he was just like, really? He's like, he's still processing the fact that this man almost hit him in the face. And I'm just going on and on with this woman. And she looks at me and she goes, you're famous, aren't you?
Oh, God.
And I was like, no, I resemble a few people. I resemble some people. And she goes, no, I know who you are. And I'm like, no. But she just went on and on and on about that. And she goes, can I get a selfie with you when we get out of the car? And like, yeah. She goes, because I'm going to figure out exactly who you are since you won't tell me.
Oh, God.
It was such a fun ride. But to hear her talk about her boys and, I mean, I can't even imagine. And she's like, she's like, I'm gone every day for over 13 hours doing what I have to do.
Like with Lyft, school, with everything.
School, preschool, school, all of it, earning a living.
So it's probably like meal prep, getting kids out the door and in bed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Work. Like that's, yeah. And then sleep. Like that's it.
Yeah. Every day.
Wow.
Every day. Because she's like, he does nothing. He does nothing.
And he doesn't work.
And he doesn't work. I mean, it's so humbling. And like, I realize the ease with which Utah gives me a life. Because I don't have traffic. And I don't have four kids that are the age of 8.
And family.
And like, I have family here. Yeah.
So I have to ask, because you are good at small talk, is there a reason you did not start small talk with Stephen Dorff? Because you had the opportunity, you both love New York, there was a chance there.
Oh my God, this is the craziest thing though. We're sitting in the Delta Lounge at Salt Lake City International Airport, and there's a guy sitting across from us. And Cowboy looks and he's like, he like sends me a text message and he says, is that so-and-so? And I'm like, no, that's not so-and-so. And then I look and I study his face for a second. I was like, oh my God, it's the guy from the Britney Spears video. Not realizing, for fuck's sake, Heather, you just watched season 3 of True Detective.
Right.
In which he was one of the major stars. But the first thing that came to mind was Britney Spears video.
Right. Which, so maybe it's good you didn't talk to him and mention that. Like, hey, you were in the Britney Spears video, right? Haven't done anything since.
And have you seen True Detective season 3?
I have not, no. I lost a lot of faith in season 2 and have not picked it up yet.
Okay. Season 3 will restore your faith.
Excellent. That's what I've heard, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful season. They do a lot of back and forth aging in season three. Not to give anything away. It won't give anything away. So there's a lot of makeup to age them and to make them look younger. And I think the makeup that they used for True Detective was so intense that it really intensified some of his features, so that in person, those features are very subdued.
Okay.
So it took us a moment to figure out that Stephen Dorff was sitting up not even 2 feet from us.
Right.
With an I Heart New York.
And that was just it. I was like, no way, Stephen Dorff. So you sent me a photo. And my first reaction to seeing that photo, I'm like, wow, Stephen Dorff has an I Heart New York tote bag with him. That is not what I would expect him to carry. But there he is, just reading whatever and casually sitting with that bag.
Right?
And you had every opportunity to make small talk. Damn it.
What was I supposed to say? I don't know what I was going to say.
I gave you some lines. You could have. Well, I'm like, so I Heart New York too. Could have been perfect.
I don't know if you've seen the video that he's in with Brittany. He plays like her boyfriend, they're in a Las Vegas hotel and she gets mad and they're mad at each other. And then she goes and she drinks wine and slips underneath the water of the bathtub and drowns. And he goes and get, you know, he's like holding her lifeless body in his arms. And
I've seen that.
Okay. This is something that we're definitely putting on social media, but I was going to go, how was it to hold Britney's lifeless body in your arms?
Oh, that wouldn't have been creepy at all. Can you tell me what lifeless Britney Spears feels like, please? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Crazy Stephen place Dorff. To run into Stephen Dorff, though.
Yeah.
At first, I thought you were in LA. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, well, that makes sense. But to be in SLC and sit across from Stephen Dorff, that's just, I don't know. Small world.
Well, and you know, I know, having lived in LA for so many years, like, you leave them alone. You don't know if celebrities do or do not want to be recognized.
Right.
If people see me, not that I'm a celebrity, but if you see me out in public, please say hello. I just want you to say hello instead of staring at me.
I think I'm sure there's celebrities that totally don't feel this way. But I think most of them are probably okay with like that. Like, oh, hey, just want to let you know I really like your show.
Yeah.
It's the people that are like, can I take 12 selfies and can you sign this and can you do that? And I think most people like to hear that they're appreciated.
What I learned is like you sort of lean in really quickly and go, you know, I loved your work on such and such. I saw Renee Zellweger at a spa right at the height of her fame. Bridget Jones, and she was on the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine that week, and she was checking out at a spa, and I walked up to her and I said, you look beautiful on the cover of Cosmo this week. And as I start to walk away, she's like, oh my god, thank you so much. And like, if you just lean in and say like one special thing about them and like recognize them that way, that they're okay with it,
right? And make it clear that you're not there to take lots of their time.
Right.
See, you could have done that to Steven.
I could have sat down next to Steven and gone, can I get a photo of you in your bag?
And then we'll talk about Britney Spears' lifeless body. It'll be great at 8:30 in the morning.
Yes. Yes.
But no other exciting celebrity sightings in LA this time around?
Did I see anybody? No. We were in downtown LA, which apparently, and I'm sure people from LA can chime in on this, but when I lived in LA, you would only go down to downtown to get fabric and then you'd leave. There's a huge fabric district down there. Now downtown LA is like, it is just booming. It is the place to be. There's so much going on. That's where most of the people suggested that I meet up, was downtown LA, which to me 20 years ago would have been insane.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It sounds like you don't, because you go back to LA fairly often.
I mean, fairly.
Like, I mean, maybe not once a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And we went to see a guy named Brian Cox, Professor Brian Cox. He's a professor of physics. He's okay. British. Yes. And it was so good. So good about the theory of relativity and light and gravity and what it means for us. And it was just a joyous, it's weird to say that about a scientific lecture, but it was a beautiful, beautiful, like 2 hours with him. So
I think the state of our country requires that we celebrate science more than ever, honestly. So I think that's okay.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. I would love that.
Yeah. You know, and I posted a photo of him, and several people from England chimed in and said, oh, he's a national treasure. We love him. He used to be in a boy band.
Really? Before he... Wow, that's a transition.
Did not know that. Yeah, when we were there for that, and that's when I thought, okay, well, I'll just hold an informal meetup with people there. So that's what we did.
Very nice.
And now I'm back.
Well, hopefully organizing something is just as easy in Chicago.
Yeah, it's... I want a venue where we can, if it's not an actual book signing, just a venue where we can sit around and order drinks and talk and laugh, and somebody can tell us their story about having, you know, four boys under the age of eight by themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of places. It's just a matter, I think, of finding one that's big enough and feels right.
But yeah.
It'll work out.
Yeah, that'll be the 13th. That'll be a Thursday night. Thursday afternoon night.
Thursday the 13th, okay.
Yeah.
Which is coming up. That's like 3 weeks, right?
Shit, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll be exactly 1 week out of my wisdom teeth surgery, so.
And how are you feeling about that?
Oh, terrified. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't be terrified. Everybody told you it's going to be okay.
I know. I mean, and I finally responded to all of those wisdom teeth emails, and the stories are great. Like, most people, like, yeah, I got put under, woke up, didn't remember anything. The next day I was fine, which that is what I need to hear. But yeah. I don't know. Still very much not looking forward to it.
It's scary. I mean, any sort of, that's scary, right? It's your body. It's your mouth. It's your teeth.
Yeah, it's a weird play. I think, I mean, I've never gone under, which is why I'm not looking forward to it. But I think anytime you go under.
Oh, wait, they're going to pitch you completely under.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because
John,
two are impacted.
What do you know what they're going to use?
I don't.
They're probably, I bet it's propofol.
Oh, it could be.
That's what they use.
I should.
For like colonoscopies. And it's so good. It really is.
I should look and see what that is. I know that the surgeon recommended, there's some, I can't remember the name of it, but there's some painkiller that you can take. That, like, you take it and it lasts for 3 days. And he said insurance won't cover it. It's like, it's $150, insurance won't cover it. And he like took his glasses off and looked me straight in the eye. And he's like, just pay for it. It is worth every cent. I'm like, all right, well, I'll consider that. So, but a lot of the emails were saying, like, I took ibuprofen and that was it. And that was all I needed. And I was fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's like your pain threshold.
Yeah.
How is your pain threshold?
I don't know how my pain, not good, not good at all. It's very bad. I will just assume that if I have pain, it means something went terribly wrong and my mouth is falling apart. So it's gonna be excellent.
You're gonna be good. You're gonna be fine. I promise.
I hope. Yeah. I hope.
Stock up on ice cream and milkshakes.
Yes, without straws.
Yeah. Right, without straws. God, no straws.
Yeah.
First of all, don't get dry socket. Second of all, don't kill the turtles. Okay.
And I've heard like you can't use. I mean, I do have reusable straws because I do care about the turtles. But for a while, at first when they were saying no straws, I thought it was like 3 to 4 days. But now I'm hearing like weeks. No straws for weeks.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I drink a lot of smoothies. And I have facial hair, so drinking a smoothie without a straw is just not a, it's not a possible thing, really. Yeah. Which is probably not what I should be concerned about, but here we are.
Here we are.
But I don't know. I think a week out, based on a lot of what I've heard, I should be okay by the end of that weekend, relatively speaking. So.
Okay.
We'll see.
And that'll give you a few days at least before we meet up with people and you can talk, right?
I should be able to talk. I should not be swollen. I should be able to talk. I mean, I'm going to commit right now. Even if I am swollen and can't talk, I'll be there. So
that'll be amazing if you're swollen.
Won't it? I'll come to join everyone for drinks with a bag of frozen peas on my face. It'll be great. But I'm going to make the drive. I'm going to do the Chicago drive just for that.
And I really, really appreciate it. And we all appreciate it. Anybody who shows up, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I know.
But it's a Thursday. So honestly, I think for anyone who's not in Chicago proper, it's pretty ideal because you'll be driving into the city when most people are driving out.
Okay.
So, you know, depending on what time, but I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And we have really great archaic train systems, so we can rely on those.
We just got a train system very recently, so yeah.
It's probably far better than ours.
I was going to mention, I talked about 1979 with the group of people in LA.
Okay.
I talked quite a bit to them. They know a lot.
Why did you talk about 1979?
Because in my book, I either said 2012 or 1979 whenever I came out of anesthesia.
Yeah.
And
it's a highlight of the story.
We figured out that we immediately knew that 2012 was the year that I got divorced, or that, you know, the year that my life exploded. But we could not figure out 1979 at all.
Like why you would pick that?
Why I would fixate on that year. My mother and I, you know, explored ideas and were like, oh, maybe this or maybe that, I don't know. But I was born in 1975. You were born in 1984.
Yeah. I'm one of the old millennials.
Oh.
Yeah.
By the way, really quickly, there was a guy on Twitter yesterday who posted a video and he's like, help, I'm a millennial. And he was trying to butter a piece of bread and couldn't do it.
Yeah. We butter a piece of bread with like a butcher knife, basically. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So 1979.
What could you possibly? You were 4 years old.
I was four. We were unpacking, coming home from that first 3 weeks of the tour, and I'm delirious. I'm emotional. So is Cowboy. I mean, he's been through the shit with me, right?
Oh yeah.
Not that the tour was shit. I mean, the tour was just intense. And he said, "Can I?" He's like, I had a thought. And I said, "Yeah." He says, "When did you start kindergarten?" And I said, I didn't start kindergarten until 1980. And he's like, did you go to preschool? I was like, I did.
Okay.
I went to a year of preschool.
In 79.
In 1979. And he said, was that the first time that you were ever separated from your mother? And it was.
Interesting.
It was the first time I was ever pulled away from her And I remember it being so, like, all of a sudden, I had a rush of memories that I had forgotten. And a rush of being completely traumatized by the idea that my mother was going to drop me off somewhere and leave me there. It was the first time in my life I had ever been separated from her.
So every time you came out, your brain immediately went to, like, the two most significant separations in your life.
Right.
That's really interesting.
The two most significant. And he almost pointed out, you know, we sort of called it the magical reset of my brain, like the magical reset of me going back to 1979 and repairing that traumatic event.
Or your brain's way of kind of guessing, like, it's this year and this is when this awful thing happened, and then you get confirmation that no, it's not. You're past that. Like, you made it.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
But when he asked about preschool, I had totally forgotten that. I remember when my mom took me for the first time, and I had no idea what was going on, and she, like, walked out of the building, and I did not compute at all. My mother is leaving me somewhere. So that's how close our relationship was. And that's sort of a big, big, big theme throughout the whole book, is my relationship with her and
right.
everything that it meant to me. So,
mystery yeah. solved, potentially.
Mystery solved, potentially, yeah. I think that I shared that with my mother, and my mother agrees.
And that was part of the conversation in LA?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a really intimate conversation. We all sat around together and talked and introduced ourselves and how we knew each other. And because a lot of these people I've known online for years, and some of them I've met and some of them I haven't,
which is
incredible. Yeah. Like, there's a woman whose Instagram I follow. It's her dog's, basically, Instagram.
Okay.
And I met her and she brought the dog and I said hello to the dog, and his name is Oscar. Anyway, it was very intimate and special. So hopefully we can recreate that in Chicago.
Oh, I think we can. Yeah.
Yeah.
The internet is such a weird place.
Isn't it?
I know there's a lot of shit on the internet, but there's also so much good. The number of people I've met, I mean, I met you as a result of the internet, but the number of people that I've met years ago that I still keep in touch with, it's kind of amazing.
Uh-huh.
I think it all depends on, I don't know, how you choose to spend your time on the internet and what you do.
Yeah.
Because there are so many good people.
There are. And like Instagram especially.
Yes.
I'm sure that you can speak to this. That's sort of where we connected, isn't it?
I think it was initially Twitter, because it was like 2012, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I want to say it was Twitter. No.
And then from there, we started following each other, and I loved your photography. And then we followed each other on Instagram. Yep. And what you start to become involved in people's lives, where you see them posting photos of their home and their dog and their triumphs and their, you know, they accomplished this at CrossFit, or they ran this marathon, or you start to become invested in their achievements and their sadness and, you know, what they go through. And then to meet them in real life, ha!
it's weird. It's almost like breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it feels.
And most of the time when I meet somebody, it's like, you're exactly the way I thought you were going to be. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, you're exactly, like, you talk like I thought you were going to talk. You know, yeah.
And that's always refreshing, because I think there is this general assumption that, well, everyone online has their online self. Uh-huh. And then their real life self. And I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, you do curate to a certain degree, but that doesn't mean you're fake.
Right.
It's just filtered.
It's filtered.
But I do think Instagram really, because of that visual component, it made those meetings in person and those connections happen more frequently or more quickly. Because, I mean, you can post photos to Twitter, but a lot of it is just words. So it's harder to establish that connection, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But with Instagram, you're immediately there, like you said, in their house, or they're taking a photo on vacation or at the gym or wherever, and you start to become a piece of that life.
Yeah.
Which sounds a little creepy, but it's not.
But, I mean, that's what this medium has done for us. And I was explaining, I did a lot of talking last week for some reason on a few podcasts about the early days of blogging. A lot of people are exploring this topic right now about the change in social media. I think especially with what's going on with Facebook and how, not necessarily the demise of Facebook just yet, but I don't know of any children my children's age who are on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't either.
So a lot of people are exploring the idea of what blogs were when they started and what that meant and what social media has done for us has recreated a village. And because we're so isolated in our day-to-day lives, that social media provides this virtual village for us. And we can't necessarily hand off the baby or, you know, I'll go out and hunt and he'll take care of this or whatever. But it does provide contact with people in other people's lives that nurtures us in a way that we've lost.
And I think it's interesting because it doesn't even have to be this regular connection. Like there are plenty of people that I've connected with on Twitter or Instagram, and we might only interact once a month, but it's still at a deeper level than just this casual comment on someone's post that I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone has their own life. They have, you know, partners and kids and pets and jobs, and it's hard to connect with regularity, but it's still there.
It's still there. You can go back and you can look at somebody's Instagram feed. If you haven't seen their last four photos, you can go back and look at them.
Right. Yeah, and kind of get caught up pretty easily.
Yeah.
And you can organize events like the thing in LA and the event in Chicago and makes it easy to actually connect.
Yeah.
We do spend a lot of time bashing social media. I realize that, but there's a lot of good.
Someone sent me an email and she was very sweet and lovely. I've written a post and she commented about it just through email. And she's like, please. She was bashing. She's a little bit older than I am. And she was just like, I can't stand those social networks. Please get off Instagram and please get off Twitter and start writing on your blog again. And I would love to have the time. Writing a blog post and getting a blog post ready to go with all that is required for it is so much harder than opening Instagram, posting a photo, and posting a caption.
Oh, yeah.
So much more involved.
It is harder, but it's also 40 times more time consuming.
40 times.
You can draft a tweet in really 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And blog posts take hours.
Hours. Because it's not just the writing, it's the crafting, the editing, and then there's everything inside of WordPress that I have to use in terms of getting it published, which it's not that difficult, but there's still a lot of steps that I have to take rather than just publish the Instagram. Boom, done.
Right.
Yeah.
So you could transition, and if you just saved up all that social media time, you'd post like once every 6 weeks. But I think though, in some cases, it's like because it's so immediate, not that the quality of what everyone is posting has gone down, but I think it's taken the pressure off. Mm-hmm. Because everything is so short and so quick that no one is as concerned about it in a good way. And this is not a criticism, even if that just means that you're going to post this and maybe a week later, you're not crazy about it, but it only took you a minute and you can post again. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty great.
It's pretty great.
It is. Now I can just post photos of my dog all the time.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
That's really all it's going to be from here on out.
You know people are dying over that dog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm dying over the fact that she flipped her bed over, tore a hole in the bottom, and has pulled out all the fuzz.
Oh, she's done that already?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck it. When they learn that they can, like, chew through like cloth.
Yeah. Yeah, and just within the last week, like, she has two plush toys and has suddenly torn them apart. They're now just fabric. Right. All the fluff has come out. She tries to eat that and then gags on it, and it's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, Coco had four squirrels, tiny, tiny little squirrels, baby squirrels that we gave her. And they lasted, probably a month before she was like, wait a minute, I can tear the head off. And you're right, they try to eat the fluff.
That's the thing, is you see these toys and you're like, these are really cute, and they're gone.
They're gone. They do try to eat the fluff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they try. It's like they, I mean, I know she has successfully eaten some, but it's also that weird, like, synthetic material that doesn't really get wet. So she just, it gets in her mouth and she just gags on it. Can't get it out, like, can't get her paw in to get it out. So finally, when I go up to her, she just willingly opens her mouth. It's like, take it out. Like, I don't know what this shit is.
Are you like, God damn it? Come on, Lily.
Yeah. It's just, it's cute and it's infuriating. And she's now chewing on shoes also.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You're going to need to cure her of that.
Yeah, I know. Actually, it's now, I found like a trainer, but they were booked up until the end of May. So I'm going to call them again this week. Like, it is time. She's very smart. She's learning things very quickly, but there are just certain things that need to stop. Soon.
Yeah. Soon.
Yeah, like
soon,
last week.
Soon, because at some point it's going to be real hard to cure him of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you you need to go.
Yeah, I've got to go take my child to the doctor.
Well, keep the ideas coming, everyone, because they're awesome. We love hearing your thoughts on what you'd like to hear about or what you'd like to hear more about. And as always, you can send those to us via email to stories@manicramblings.com or on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @manicramblings. Let us know. And you can also find us on Patreon. And a huge thanks to our new patrons over the last week. It means a lot. You're keeping this show on the road, so that's tremendous.
Yeah. And until next time, why don't you send us photos of your dog's Instagram? If you have one.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you thought about making Lily an Instagram?
I have, and I'd like to say that I haven't done it because I've just decided it's a bad idea, but it's really just that I haven't come up with a good name.
Yeah.
So it'll happen.
People would eat
that
shit up.
I know. I need to do it.
I would.
So I guess if you have suggestions on a good Instagram name for Lily, let us know.
Yeah. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.